nice having Eddie Montague on with us on this St. Patrick's Day. As I look out, as the crowd is coming in and a lot of green out there, I'm looking at Dwayne Kuiper. I do not see a lot of green on Dwayne Kuiper Day. I guess, we can't. He's got a jacket on, so I can't tell. The lineup today, Paul White is going to join us in just a minute. Of course, one of the great senior writers of baseball in the country. Joe Panik, Belt, Longoria, and Crawford. That's the first four. Then we go to Pence, Hundley, Jarrett Parker, Blanco the DH, and Steven Duggar in center. So I get to see Duggar a little bit more. I want to watch him defensively. I really like to watch the kid defensively. And then the top of this lineup, Panik and Belt facing a right-hander for the A's, and that is Andrew Triggs today. For the A's, it's Barreto, Matt Joyce, Piscotty, Olson, Smolinski, Noose, Bruce Maxwell, the catcher. He had a little controversy over the winter. Anthony Garcia in left, Lombardozzi's. He's still around, my God. He is at second, and Andrew Triggs is the pitcher there. Taylor gives me the update on the Giants-Cleveland game out at Goodyear. It is now 2-2. The final line on Chris Stratton, 4 1/3, 6 hits, 2 runs, no walks, 4 strikeouts, and that is what he did. Jose Valdez has come in to finish up the fifth inning for Stratton. So that is what we've got going on. Let us go back east and bring in Paul White. Paul, how are you?
Great, Marty.
Yeah, good to hear your voice as we get ready for baseball here. I think, obviously, you're back east. We haven't seen you down here in Arizona, but the one thing that has been interesting down here, and I'd love to get your take on it, is Ohtani with the Angels. And, you know, there's such hype about him and the Babe Ruth of the Japanese leagues coming over. And, boy, has that thing blown up in the Angels' face, and who knows where that's going?
Well, you know, I think they were kind of a victim of and they were part of this, of too much hype. I mean, he's a 23-year-old with an incredible amount of talent. Most 23-year-olds are, you know, hoping to crack a major league roster at this point. They're in spring training, maybe their first major league spring training, except for the real super prospects, you know, the Bryce Harpers, et cetera, of the world. But, you know, we've never seen a Japanese kid come over, a guy with that amount of talent, this young. By the time we usually get them into our camps, they're established stars in the Japanese leagues. Well, this is just a kid, and probably for his own good, if he was anybody else, the best thing for him would be to be in the minor leagues to start things off this year. But how do they handle that? Will they be able to? As I understand, there's no guarantee that he's on the major league roster. They could ship him out, and hey, you know, there's a service time thing there, just like you know, clubs deal with their own prospects out of their own system. So I wouldn't be at all surprised to see him start in the minor leagues.
Well, Paul White is with us. I'll tell you one thing. 3 weeks, 3 months ago, we were not having this conversation. 3 months ago, the Ohtani tour was taking place, and teams coming in. It was like the old days in Egypt and bringing in the, you know, the goods for the pharaoh.
And you know, long term, he's probably as good a prospect as there is anywhere. He's certainly on a par, maybe better because of the unique situation that he's a prospect as a hitter and a pitcher of anybody that he's a, you know, anybody that you can list off any top prospect list here in the U.S. You know, the Vlad Guerreros and the, you know, Bo Bichettes and guys like that. But that's all he is at this point, and probably, as a long-term investment, it was probably a good deal for the Angels. You know, if they can keep him long-term. But, you know, anybody that was expecting this guy to roll in and just take over the majors and dominate this year, I think probably a little naive.
Well, I'm in that class. I thought he would. I thought he'd come in and do it. But you're right. He's 23, and he's really missed a lot of last season, and he is in the Japanese League, and he's not as that established yet. So 1 1/3 for him, 7 runs the other day. He had a great first inning, and then the Rockies just torched him for 7 runs in the second inning. But, you know, just to take this one step further, you know, the Angels were going to redo their whole pitching rotation to accommodate him and go with 6 starters. And I think at this point, as Mike Socia says, well, we'll get everyone ready on their day, and then we'll decide. So to me, there's no way in the world this guy's getting a start coming out of spring training.
Yeah, and again, you know, if you're not sure of the guy, you can't be having everybody else change their routine, and you got to get, you know, Sosa's right. He's got to get ready for the season and the rest of his rotation. I mean, that's a rotation that's being put back together, you know, with guys like Garrett Richards and Matt Shoemaker. You know, it has the potential to be a pretty nice little rotation. But you've got guys coming off injuries. You've got the uncertainty of Ohtani. You've got a couple spots at the back end that are unsure. So if you're Sosa, you're thinking, I can't be messing with this for the first month or so.
No, you better not.
You can't
because Houston will run away from you.
You
can't mess around with them. Paul White is with us. Always great to talk some baseball with Paul. Looking at the free agent market, and it took so long for all this to come together, and maybe this is now the new normal. This is the way it will be. But now that everything's sort of settled in, you look at the teams and the players and where they ended up, and I tell you, I looked at the list today, and it made me think of the days of trades. Like, everybody got something. Many, many teams got something, whether it's San Diego with Hosmer or Houston with Garrett Cole and D. Gordon in Seattle, Alonso in Cleveland, Chatwood in Chicago. Paul, when you look at it, it took a while, but there is a real shuffling of players, I think.
Yeah, there is. I'm not so sure that the pecking order at the top of each league has changed very much. It wouldn't so shock me to see all six divisions won by the same teams that won them last year. But you're right. There's a lot of players that moved. I think the, let's call it, fiscal responsibility by a lot of teams, and part of that is what's starting to act as a soft cap with the luxury tax, and a lot of teams paying attention to it. It allowed other teams to get in and spend some money by bringing players down to a salary level that the San Diego Padres can sign Eric Hosmer. The Minnesota Twins are players in the free agent market, and major players, as it turns out. So I think that it's created a little bit more of a balance than we've seen in a long time, because more teams were able to participate. Now, you're right. You know, a lot of the contenders were able to go out and fill specific needs, but they didn't go crazy. And it very well may be the way it's going to be in the immediate future, but I think next winter is the real test, because it's just a huge free agent class. There's some big names out there, and you wonder if the big guys have just been laying in the weeds waiting to spend their money next winter.
Yeah, everything got sort of mixed up a lot. I mean, Longoria, McCutcheon ended up here. Lorenzo Cain in Milwaukee. Yelich is traded. Just so much stuff happened. It reminded me of the old days of trades. It really did. And you're right. Minnesota got Lance Lynn. They got Odorizzi. All of a sudden, Grichuk is in Toronto. Jared Dyson is in Arizona. There's a lot that went on in baseball. I just think there was a lot that went on.
Oh, you're right, an awful lot. And I think it was interesting. It would be interesting to see if you give some truth serum to some general managers about halfway through next season and go and look back at the winter. Because the free agent market moves so slowly, I think that was an enticement for more of the trades that we did see. Now, I realize the Marlins were having a bit of a fire sale and other things were going on. But if you're not signing guys, you know, you're not willing to pay what they think they're worth, and that's why it took so long for a lot of guys, you still want to fill your needs. And I think a lot of GMs got a little antsy from their end of it. It's like, well, I still need a left fielder. I've got to go make a trade. I've got to do something, because I can't go to spring training with that hole in my lineup. And I think that produced a few more trades.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. I'm telling you.
It was fun, yeah.
I think when all the dust settled, players have moved all over the place and to a lot of teams you didn't expect, and some trades did happen. So I like it. I really do. I think it was good for baseball, and it may be the new normal now. Paul White with us, looking at the East Coast and the Grapefruit League, which we don't see too much of. Any teams jumping out at you and maybe saying, well, I didn't expect this? Or, of course, at spring training, everybody is 0-0. Everyone is a World Series champion. But, you know, you get a feeling that some teams maybe did better than others.
Yeah, you know, I think the thing that's striking me, which I mentioned earlier, it wouldn't shock me to see all the divisions won by the same six teams as we saw last year. And remember, you know, Boston is the American League East champion, and I think people are not paying enough attention to them. That's still a really, really good team. David Price made his first outing the other day, was exceptional. They've got just a ton of offense. They've got a deep pitching staff. They're probably on paper still better than the Yankees, who got all the hype all winter. And so I think what we're finding are the second level of teams are in a tighter grouping. There are a lot more teams now that could sneak into those wild card spots. Maybe not push for a division title, but, you know, we mentioned Minnesota earlier. That's becoming a really good team. You got a team like Atlanta that has all sorts of young pitching. The Braves are going to be a little slow to bring those up, but by midseason, half the rotation could be turned over to rookies. And, you know, that's probably not enough to make them a contender right away, but they're going to be getting closer and they're going to get exciting. Philadelphia, obviously, after the Arrieta signing, they're all psyched up. Who knows what they're going to get with Arrieta this year beyond a leader for their staff, because that's another group with a lot of great young pitching and some good young hitters. But, you know, even if Arrieta's not a 20-game winner, a dominant guy, he becomes a leader of a staff with a bunch of kids that are learning their way, and that probably makes them a whole lot better.
I like that he landed there. I like it because it made Philadelphia's story for me. I like it. Yep. And I'll tell you the other one, Paul, before we let you go. We appreciate your time on this Saturday afternoon. The Mets. All of a sudden, everything you hear out of Port St. Lucie, Noah Syndergaard's throwing not 100, he's throwing 130. And, you know, and all these, that's a joke, but, you know, but, you know, you hear, you know, Lucas Duda and this one and that one. I mean, they're just crushing the ball. Whoever, he's in Kansas City, but.
Right. They got to try Adrian Gonzalez for a while, but.
Yeah, but they, you know, every.
But still,
the whole Met thing looks like a story.
Yeah, you know, and Mickey Callaway was an interesting choice as a manager. If you ever talked to Mickey, he's a really interesting guy. But he kind of came out of nowhere as a manager candidate. But the first thing he's done has had a real effect on those pitchers, and he seems to be getting through to Matt Harvey. There's been ups and downs in his spring, but I think now Harvey's at a point where he may be coming back to at least be a solid starter again. And if they get back again to that a deep rotation, they're interesting. Again, Washington's clearly the class of that division, maybe the best team in the National League right now. But all those other teams, I just think the National League wild card race could be wild this year.
Yep,
it could be
six or seven
teams. It could be some team out of nowhere. You know, it's just that kind of balance. You know, I mean, you take a super long shot like Cincinnati that's got some good young pitching coming and some solid bats in the middle of their lineup. A team like that gets off to a hot start. All of a sudden, they think, why can't we be in it? I just think it could be wide open.
I agree. I agree with you. Paul, thanks so much. As always, we love catching up with you. We do it every holiday, but I'm going to do it a little more often. And, you know, you've got the understanding of baseball, and you know that East Coast stuff, and it's a lot of fun to have you on.
Anytime, Marty. Always
I appreciate
to do it.
All right. Very good. That is Paul White. More coming up, KMBR 680, the sports leader.